fearful or anxious in the first week after giving birth. This is often called the baby blues and is so common that it's considered normal. But if your symptoms last longer or feel more severe, it could be postnatal depression or anxiety, and it's important to get help. There's a huge amount of support available and you don't need to go through this alone. Start by contacting your GP. You can always get help as well from Pandas, a charity who supports and advises any parent and their networks who need support with parental mental illnesses. Go to pandasfoundation.org.uk. That's pandasfoundation.org.uk. Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of No Really, I'm Fine. Today I am joined by Kate Lynch. Now, some of you may recognise Kate and may recognise her voice, because she was one of our original hosts of the No Really, I'm Fine podcast, which was over a year ago now. We launched back in May 2019 during Mental Health Awareness Week, and Kate was one of the founding members of the podcast, and she took a break from the podcast because she was busy doing life. She got married and she's had a beautiful baby boy, and I'm so pleased that she joins us today to update us all on this and to also talk about a very serious and important topic of mental health issues during pregnancy, before pregnancy, and after pregnancy. Hi, Kate. How are you today? Are you really fine?
Fine's a funny one for me, because the only time I ever say I'm fine is when I'm not. Like, if I was in a good mood, I'd say I'm good, or I'm great, or I'm boss. But I only ever actually say, oh, no, I'm fine, when I'm just trying to deflect the situation and I don't want to talk about it, or I don't feel like I can talk about it. So no, I'm not fine. I'm better than fine. I'm good today. I've had a decent sleep. I had about 6 hours sleep, which is pretty good. So yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
You are now a mummy, aren't you?
I am. I still can't quite believe it. I'm just waiting for like a proper adult to come and like take over. No, but I am. Yeah, and he's amazing.
How old is little Billy now?
He's nearly 4 months. He's a week off 4 months.
That's gone dead quick, hasn't it?
It's flown.
I remember when you sent me the first picture of him. He's so gorgeous.
All those cliches about they grow up so fast and all that—it's so true.
So when was it you gave birth then?
The 12th of February he was born.
What was that like?
See, I planned my birth, and I know a lot of people do, but you don't always, you know, doesn't always go to plan. You don't know when the baby's going to come. You don't know how it's going to go. I was really fortunate in that my birth couldn't really have gone any more to plan. I'd just like to take a minute as well to shout out the wonderful, wonderful staff at Liverpool Women's Hospital. Every single member of staff I came into contact with, you know, pre-pregnancy, during my birth, and then afterwards was absolutely amazing. I was so reassured. They just went above and beyond. I owe them so much. Can't thank you's not big enough. So I just wanted to say that. I would really recommend anyone who is trying to conceive or is pregnant to do your research on what you're entitled to and what your rights are as a pregnant woman. There's certain things that you don't have to do. And as I say, I didn't experience anything like this at Liverpool Women's, but I have heard stories of people, you know, being maybe coerced into certain things. Like, people don't want to be induced, then they kind of get made to feel bad, so they have to, just things like that. There's a really good book called Give Birth Like a Feminist by Millie Hill. I read that and I would really recommend it, because it was an eye-opener for me. I didn't realise that I had so much say in my birth, but I did. If I didn't know it, then I'm guessing there's others out there who didn't. So I would really recommend that.
And so you should have a say in your birth. I mean, after all, you're the one doing the work.
Well, yeah, that's it. So I thought it was just, you know, you had to do it. For example, you can now have a cesarean. You can choose to have a cesarean, which I didn't know. I think that those guidelines came in 2016. You can request a cesarean, and as long as it's medically possible and everything. I think I went to a couple of meetings with the consultant. They talked it through with me, checked, and I knew exactly what was happening. And I said, yeah, I'd prefer to have a cesarean for mental health reasons. And I was allowed to, which I didn't know that. It was just that I asked on the off chance, because I was seeing a mental health midwife anyway. And they said, oh, yeah, the guidelines have changed.
That's interesting.
That's just one thing that I didn't know. And I'm guessing a lot of other people don't know.
My mum's had cesareans with me and my brother, and it was always because she couldn't give birth naturally. So I didn't know that mm-hmm. you had the option to as well. So that's really interesting. It's also interesting that you had a mental health midwife. I didn't know. Again, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah. So I think it's perinatal midwife, I think is the name. So that's like before and after birth. I went to the doctors about my mental health beginning of July, and it wasn't until November that I saw the mental health midwife. And that was, they say they fast track you because you're pregnant, so you're more vulnerable, but a fast track of 4 months is not great, really. I know obviously the NHS are doing their best, but I do just think they need more funding from the government in all areas of mental health, including prenatal and antenatal mental health.
Obviously, I know personally that you've struggled with mental health on and off throughout your life. But for our listeners, do you want to just talk a bit about that? Because I know you found it particularly hard, didn't you, whilst you were pregnant?
Oh, yeah. Okay. To say I found my pregnancy hard would be the biggest understatement ever. Now, I know how lucky I am to have been able to get pregnant. I know there are so many people who want that and struggle or can't, and I have got the most beautiful little boy now, and I'm so grateful. But oh my god, I hated being pregnant. I hated it so much. Not only that, but then you're not allowed to hate being pregnant, are you? Because it means you're, you know, a bad mom and you're ungrateful and all this. Plus then there's this pressure that you're meant to be like glowing and this like radiant goddess, and all these things on top of each other. Plus, you know, your body is changing in ways you can't imagine. Now, my past is I've struggled with bulimia, body image and stuff like that. That's just kind of glossing over it because it was a really, really long struggle, and it did take up, you know, years of my life, and it's taken me a long time to get over that. So then to be thrown back into where your body is basically not yours anymore, it's changing, not down to you, but down to something else. You've got no control over it. I was really sick in the first trimester. I was getting migraines, I was dizzy, I felt like I was going to faint. So then my self-care went out the window because I couldn't go for a run or do yoga because I wasn't well enough. You can't get a hot bath anymore because you're pregnant and you're not supposed to. You know, you can't go and get a massage, not a proper one anyway, because you're pregnant. All these things that would be your little treats normally, or little ways to try and perk yourself up, you're suddenly not allowed to do any of them, or most of them. And it felt like the carpet had been pulled from under me. To be honest, it was a lot to deal with. And yeah, like I said before, I felt like I couldn't tell anyone that I didn't like it. I couldn't tell most people anyway because it was, no one knew, because I didn't tell anyone until I was like 13 weeks. But yeah. And then on top of that as well, I hate lying. I really hate lying, and I'm a terrible liar. And then you happen to lie to people and it's like, oh, do you want a drink? And you're like, no, I'm on antibiotics. And then people are like, why? And I'm like, Yeah, it was just a lot.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's almost like taboo to say you hate being pregnant, isn't it? And why isn't it taught that these are perhaps all the things that you can't do anymore, you know, mm-hmm. once you're pregnant? You know, why isn't that sort of mentioned while you're pregnant? Is it because people are afraid to be negative about it? It's very weird, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was about 4 months pregnant, and I thought, you know what, if I'm feeling like this, there's bound to be plenty of other people who are going through the same or similar. So I put a post on Instagram, and I'm normally quite, like, I'll be honest and open about mental health, but I was honestly terrified. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be hated and all that. And then literally off the back of it, people started like liking it and commenting and stuff, and just like commented a little heart and stuff. And then I was a bit reassured and I was like, oh no, it's all right. And then so I put my phone down, and then by the end of the day, I was getting messages and messages off people, like people I've never spoken to, people saying, thank you so much for posting this. I thought I was the only one. You know, you've made me feel less bad for feeling this way because I've been berating myself. And that, for me, it just confirmed that I'd done the right thing. And I was just so happy that I'd shared that and maybe made other people feel a little bit like they could share it, or at least share it with me, or just have that little tiny reassurance that, you know, it is okay to feel like that.
Why do you think then that people are scared to speak out about how much they might be struggling while they're pregnant?
Well, I do think there's this pressure, isn't there? Because there's this idea of, like, you know, you're pregnant and you're glowing and it's amazing and you're bringing life into the world and, oh, aren't you lucky? You get to eat whatever you want. And I think part of it's that, and I think the other part of it is you just don't want to sound ungrateful. And I feel like a lot of people tie pregnancy and the unborn baby together, so you can't say anything negative about the pregnancy because it's negative about the baby. But I think the opposite should be true. I think it needs to be separate in terms of health and stuff anyway, mental health.
What are some of the things then that you struggled with the most while you were pregnant?
I just felt like all of a sudden a lot was taken from me. Obviously, like, there's a list of literal things you can't do. So I was really into hot yoga. You can't do that anymore because it's basically in a really hot room. So you can't do that when you're pregnant. You can still run when you're pregnant if you were already running. But I wasn't. I think I only ran once because I just wasn't well enough to.
I don't think I've ever seen that, a pregnant woman running.
Yeah, you can't like start, you know, 10K training or marathon training. But if you were already, I think the advice is that you can already do what you were doing before, at least for the first trimester. I'm not sure after that. I don't really know. Because after that, I was just on the couch. All that had gone. I couldn't sleep properly, and I love my sleep. I need my sleep to keep me sane. I was getting migraines. I felt sick. I was really like hormonal. You know, like before your period, and I get really like snappy, irritable. I was like that for 3 months, and it was like I was annoying myself. And I was like, if I'm annoying myself, I must be annoying everyone else. And obviously, my husband knew why, but like my stepkids didn't, because they didn't know yet. My family didn't, so they must have just thought, oh, she's being a bitch. I don't know why. Then I was getting anxiety, like, oh, everyone hates me because I'm being horrible. Went on holiday, and even though I put sun cream on, I got really badly sunburnt because I didn't realise your skin gets a lot more sensitive when you're pregnant. I was constipated. Everyone always says, oh, he has any morning sickness. And I'm like, do you know what? That is the tip of the iceberg. Like, I know people are not going to go around going, are you constipated? But like, the only like cliche symbol or like side effect of pregnancy is vomiting. And honest to God, I wish someone had told me before I got pregnant. If it was just that I'd be fine, but there's so many like nasty side effects you can have. Like, I'd never had a migraine before I got pregnant, and I had six in those 3 months, and they knocked me out. I couldn't get out of bed.
Have you sort of noticed a improvement in your mental health since Billy was born?
Yes, massively.
Because I know a lot of people suffer with postnatal depression, don't they? So
I had postnatal anxiety. When he was born, I was convinced there was something wrong with him. Touch wood, he's perfectly healthy and happy, and all his checks and everything up to now, he's been fine. But I was convinced there was something wrong with him. The first night we stayed in the hospital, it was really loud because we were on a ward, but he just slept right through, pretty much. So I was convinced he was deaf. And then he kept like doing this thing where he'd like wobble his arms, and I think it's just like reflexes, but I thought there was something wrong with him because of that. Every little thing he'd do, I was like Googling it. I'm in some like pregnant support groups and new mum support groups, so I was commenting every little thing. I was like, is this normal? I was constantly like texting the midwife and the health visitor. I just want to say, worrying as a new parent is normal. I don't want anyone listen to this who does worry a bit to think, oh my God, I've got postnatal anxiety, because a bit of worry obviously is normal. You know, you've got a new tiny little human you have to care for. You are going to worry. But I was just, wasn't sleeping. Well, you don't sleep anyway, but when I could sleep, I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. It was horrible. And then just as it kind of lifted, then we went into lockdown. So I had that to worry about. But now I think if anyone does feel like their level of worry is excessive, or if you're having panic attacks or abrupt mood swings or anger, everyone gets a lack of sleep, but unable to sleep and a lack of appetite, then definitely it's hard in the current climate. But I think you can even have a telephone chat with your GP now, because I've had a couple anyway, and you can access stuff online as well. But it's just so important, because mental health can, you know, drastically escalate anyway. But you've got sleep deprivation, you've got the stress and worry of a newborn, and you've got all these hormones just going crazy in your body. So it's so important to monitor yourself, think to yourself, you know, is this, am I just a bit tired or whatever, or is this, how am I really feeling? Literally grab onto any life raft you can if you don't feel right, whether it's your GP, well, I would always say go to your GP, but partner, friends, anyone who will listen, as I said before, there's Facebook support groups. There's a great blogger called Rosie who's got a blog called PND and Me, and her Twitter handle's the same as well. And every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, she does hashtag PND Hour, which is hashtag Postnatal Depression Hour, but it covers like all sorts, and that's really, really good as well. There's lots out there. The support is available.
How has it been for you then in terms of lockdown? Because obviously both of us suffer with, have suffered or are suffering with mental health illnesses. So it's hard enough, isn't it? Like you say, you know, coping with that and this mm-hmm. new scary situation. But I've spoken to a lot of new mums as well who have just, I know you had Billy a month before we went into lockdown. So I'm glad that you had that, you know, a bit of normal time. But I know a lot of mums have, you know, perhaps just given birth in lockdown, and especially single mums, you know, who look forward to going out to community groups or mum groups. And so that must be hard as well. How have you found all that? And I know you're quite good with online support, but it's sometimes not the same as it getting out and about and showing your newborn off, if you like.
No, I mean, online support's great and I'm really grateful for that, but it's you're right, it's not the same. I do feel for especially single mums, like you say, because if you're a single parent of a newborn, things like classes and groups are, it can be a lifeline. And I imagine lots of parents, single and not, do you feel really isolated. Certainly me, my little boy, he did get to meet most of his family once or twice before we went into lockdown, which I'm really grateful for. But it's my dad's first grandchild. It's the first time my sister's become an auntie, and they're devastated that they can't see him. He can't see any of his family who love him, and it's heartbreaking. We went to my mother-in-law's in the garden the other day, from a social distance, and he started crying because he doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know anyone outside of our immediate household.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, when you've got a little baby, you worry anyway about things like sudden infant death syndrome or cot death. And then along comes coronavirus and you're like, well, what if the baby gets that? Or what if both me and my husband get that? And we're so, you know, poorly that we can't look after him. Then what happens? And I do think we can't have childcare. We can't socialise. As pregnant women, we've had all these choices taken away from us. And then with this lockdown, we're having even more. I do think a lot of expectant mums and new mums I've spoke to, it's a proper grief. We are grieving the loss of like normal maternity leave. And I know that everyone's going through all kinds of stuff, and everyone's, or most people are at least upset. And, you know, I'm not going to go into any of that, but I feel like just because other people have it worse, that's what I always say to my stepkids, just because other people have it worse doesn't mean you're not allowed to feel sad. And I think there is a true sense of loss there, because you're not getting that time to properly, you know, socialise. It's good for the baby to meet other babies. I was talking to my dad on the phone the other day, the baby's granddad, and he said, oh, Billy won't know what babies look like because he's never met one. And it just made me, it sounded really weird, but I was like, oh my God, yeah. Because he should have been in classes by now, and he should have been going to all sorts.
Yeah.
But there's just none of that.
Well, I know there's been a parliament petition set up for maternity leave, for the government to sort of put an extra 3 months on maternity leave, you mm-hmm. know, to help mums out, especially with mums who might be NHS workers or key mm-hmm. workers, or in terms of the finance as well, that must be a struggle.
Yeah, I think there was 220,000 signed that one, but it was rejected. But I think that you know, it's still ongoing because mums aren't giving up that easily. Yeah, the impacts of mental health, childcare and adoption over lockdown have been catastrophic. I read one expert say they were expecting a tsunami of mental health referrals from new parents.
It doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest.
No. And I'm really lucky because I wouldn't need to take that 3 months because of how it's worked and like feasibility and stuff. My husband is able to work things around so that he can look after the baby while the kids are in school. So I wouldn't be taking that. But I do think the option needs to be there, because I'm absolutely in the minority. And a lot of people, the only option they're left with is to take unpaid leave. And how do you live? I just think while I completely agree with the lockdown, obviously, I feel like this is, again, one area where women are being overlooked.
So what about men then? How, for example, how's Peter been coping in all this?
I was just about to come on to that because I realised, as I said it, I also don't want to make new baby mental health and everything all about women, because it's not.
Yeah.
You know, the dads are affected too. The dads are just thrown in the deep end just as much as the mums. The dads are getting the sleepless nights too. The dads have got the stress and the worries. I think Peter's handled it all right because he's already got children. So I think, I mean, you can never really know what to expect, but I think he kind of had an idea. Whereas I think if it's your first child, I think especially if it's both of your first children, because you haven't really got anyone to be like, what do you do? Or like, is this right? Or because I've had that with him. Like my friends just had a baby in lockdown, bless her, and it's both their first. And I just really feel for them because they can't even get like man around, or so that's going to be a massive struggle for them, I think. Yeah, in terms of men, I do think men get overlooked, and I guess because men haven't got all the hormones and everything else. So I don't think they maybe experience it as badly, but that doesn't mean that they aren't entitled to their feelings and their experiences. And I think they should feel as able to ask for help as mums. And I would, again, advise anyone who is struggling to go and see their GP.
What are you looking forward to the most then when hopefully lockdown is lifted fully?
Oh my God, this is going to sound really, really like lame, but I want to all go to my dad's house. All my family live 15, 20 miles away, so it's not like massively far, like, but it's not around the corner. So I want to go to my dad's house with all the family and we all just get a takeaway and everyone holds a baby in there and we have a takeaway and that's it.
That's not lame.
That's like all I want. I never thought I'd be like praying and begging and like wishing for that, but here we are.
Yeah, but it's nice that like people, you sort of appreciate the simpler things in life more, don't you?
Absolutely. I hope it's the one good thing that we will all appreciate stuff a lot more when these crazy times are over.
Anything else that you wanted to talk about, Kate?
Yeah, so I wanted to share some tips for feeling better if you are a new parent in lockdown. And I'm aware that I am only one mum and I only have really my experiences and heard experiences of friends. So if this list doesn't have anything on it that appeals to you, then that's absolutely fine. If maybe one or two things do, then just take them and leave the rest, or you know, have a think about what different things that would work for you. So what helped me massively is self-care. Now if you're the mum or dad of a newborn, you're probably like, self-care, huh? Like that's when do we do that? But the thing is, a little bit of self-care goes a long way, and if you put even just a few minutes a day in to looking after yourself, you're going to be better. You're going to feel better. You're going to be in a better position to look after the baby. This is something actually that my counsellor explained to me, because I felt if I wasn't with the baby, I was cleaning or cooking or doing something. I think I had this idea in my head that if you're the mum of a newborn, you know, you are tired and you're rushed off your feet and you're this and you're that. And then my husband said to me one day, he was like, why don't you go and get a bath while he's asleep? And I was like, can I? And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, can I? And he was like, come get a bath. Like, and I was like, can I really? And he was like, yes, you're allowed to get a bath. And then I kind of realised how silly I was being. So yeah, self-care. Now, I know a lot of people with a baby are not going to be able to just waltz off and have like a soak for an hour, or, you know, go and do yoga or whatever. But it doesn't have to be that. It can just be a few minutes of breathing. It can be reading an affirmation. Reading a positive affirmation a few times a day. Maybe if you put it on a post-it note, stick it on the fridge, whatever. If you can get a little bit more, maybe if your partner or spouse can take the baby for a bit, or if you've got older children, or if they can mind them and you can do something for a bit longer, then I would definitely recommend meditation, because it's, for me anyway, it's done absolute wonders. Nothing fancy. I don't have like a cushion or a room. I don't like candles or anything like that. I just do a little guided meditation off YouTube. So it's completely free. There's loads on there, so you just find one that you like. There's obviously apps and stuff as well, but yeah, I just do that. I literally do it for like 5 minutes just in the bed. Facebook groups, I mentioned this before, being a lifeline for me. There's loads on there for when you're pregnant, after pregnancy, during pregnancy. They're just great because it's just a wealth of information. But more than that, it's the sense of community, and it's knowing that you're not alone and speaking to other people who are going through the same. And really, that's priceless. It's one of the best forms of help, I think, just knowing that you're not alone and that, you know, other people are going through this and that we will get through it. I would also say housework is not necessary. You've got loads you need to do. You need, you know, obviously you need to make sure kids are clothed and fed and all that. If you're homeschooling, that you need to do that as well. Don't feel like your house has got to be spotless too. Because why? It's not like anyone's coming around anyway. Oh, just please don't like overburden yourself running around with a Hoover and stuff, because it just doesn't need. I was the exact same. That's what I was like. And I realised I was just being ridiculous. Forget the housework. The housework can wait. I mentioned before about just taking a few minutes to have some breaths. Single parents especially, it can be really, really hard, especially if you've got like a baby who's going through a bad patch and constantly crying. I spoke to my health visitor and she did say, if it gets too much and it is just constant, that it's absolutely fine to put the baby somewhere safe. Even if they are screaming, crying, it's absolutely fine. Like, it's not going to do them any harm. They'll just tire themselves out. Just put them in, you know, securely in a bouncy chair or in the cot or a Moses basket and take a few minutes. And that's absolutely fine. Okay, my next tip is lean on whoever you can. If you've got children that are a bit older, maybe see if they'll mind the baby for 20 minutes. Anyone else you live with who you know, is suitable. Text a mate and see if you can ring them and just moan for half an hour or anything really that you can think of. Just remember that the baby is so important. Obviously, this tiny little baby is, you know, needs so much looking after, but so do you. I think that's where we get a bit lost, because everyone asks how the baby is. Everyone wants, including the family, wants the baby to thrive and all that. And so they should. But then I feel like the parents get a bit lost and forgotten about.
Lost identity, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we need to remember that we're really important too, and we matter, and we deserve to ask for help, and we deserve to feel our feelings and be allowed to share our feelings, and it's okay. I am conscious that I always need to say it, ring a GP, because even if they can't help you, they can point you in the direction of someone who can. I know people are weary about going to doctors and stuff like that in these times. It's there to be used. And when I've been to the doctor's surgery, we've like waited in the car. We've been called. They've called my mobile and we've gone in. There's been nobody else there. We've not come into contact with anyone, not touched anything. So I think it'd be a lot more dangerous to not go than go. I'm not a doctor. But, you know, if you feel like your mental health is different, I think it's worse to not go to the GP, even in these times.
Finally, before we finish then, tell me three words that describe Billy.
Gorgeous, smiley, the best thing I've ever done. Can that be a word?
I was just going to say, what are the three things that he's changed for you?
When I say gorgeous, by the way, I don't just mean like cute, because he is cute, but he's just gorgeous in and out. Yeah, yeah. He's boss. I know I said before, I was really worried after having him, and obviously, you know, you do worry about your kids, and you will always, even when they're not babies. But I'm so much more chilled in another way, because things I used to worry about before, I just don't have the time to, or I just don't see the point.
I think I need to have a baby then.
I mean, I wouldn't say have a baby for that reason.
I'm joking. I'm joking, guys.
It's a nice, you know, aside. But I think I'm a lot more appreciative of my body as well. I used to be really critical, like self-critical. And for example, I remember saying, I hate my boobs. I'm going to get a boob job. I'm going to wait till I have a baby and then I'm going to get a boob job. And now I'm like, can't even be bothered. Why am I going to spend thousands of pounds on changing this body when this body is amazing, and let me have my beautiful boy?
Yeah, exactly. This body's given birth to life.
Yeah, I think aside from, you know, having him and getting to spend all this time with him and him being my son and me having that honour, there's definitely a lot of other plus points as well. Would recommend if you're ready.
Many women feel a bit down, tearful or anxious in the first week after giving birth. This is often called the baby blues. If your symptoms last longer or feel more severe, it could be postnatal depression or anxiety. Start by contacting your GP. You can always get help as well from PANDAS, a charity who supports and advises any parent and their networks who need support with parental mental illnesses. Go to pandasfoundation.org.uk. That's pandasfoundation.org.uk.